Very good, very good. I just saw Olivia Reshashar leaving to go to Sunday school, and I don't know if you saw it in the bulletin or not, but you know, this little girl put out the plea for disaster relief by baking cupcakes last week, and that little girl right by herself raised $183 for Japanese UMCOR relief. Thank you. Thank you, Bethel Church, for supporting that. And we are still, of course, taking donations through UMCOR, through the advance. Just make sure you earmark your check or gift to Japanese Relief, and we'll make sure it gets to UMCOR. All right. Today, we're looking at evangelism still. We're doing a six-week sermon series on transforming evangelism. And the first week, I talked about what evangelism meant as far as individuals. Today, we're going to be looking at evangelism from the aspect of the church community, the community of faith, the evangelistic community. And today, the scripture reading comes from a church that actually is a real model for us in doing evangelism as the community of faith. And it comes to us from Acts chapter 2, verses 43 to 47. And the words will be on the screen, of course. This has taken place right after Pentecost. The Holy Spirit has fallen upon the church and empowered the church. And this little church, we don't know which church it was. It could represent many churches. But it shows us just what they were doing in terms of spreading the gospel and sharing the good news with the world. Luke, the writer of the Gospel of Luke, is also accredited to writing the book of Acts as well, puts it this way. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God, enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The question that I wrestled with this week in preparing this message and for Bible study was, if we are called as Christians to make disciples for Jesus Christ, for the transformation of the world, what is the role of the community of faith, the church, in that transformation? That's what I wanted to kind of hit on today and to talk about. We talked about it individualistically last week and the week before. Now we're looking at it from the aspect, from the perspective of the whole church. What does it mean to be an evangelistic community? Knight and Powell, who are the authors of the book that we're using for the basis of our study and our sermon series, put it this way. He says, quote, "An evangelistic community is one that is both inviting and sustaining to believers on their faith journey." Those are two key words we're going to focus in on in the time we have together this morning. And I'm going to try to get through this as quickly as possible. We're running a little bit late this morning. Inviting and sustaining. What does it mean to be an inviting congregation, an inviting church? Let me give you an example. A pastor was assigned to a local church. But before he was introduced to the congregation, he thought he'd do a little experiment. He came to that church one Sunday dressed in blue jeans, holy jeans, some blown-out sneakers, a flannel shirt, and just made himself a little disheveled, a little, you know, not what you would call Sunday morning go-to-church clothes and go-to-church look. He went to that church, and of course, as soon as he walked in, every head turned. People gave him funny looks. People did not want him sitting beside them. In fact, one of the ushers thought he was a homeless guy and told him that the soup kitchen was down the street. Well, needless to say, this pastor-to-be, which they didn't realize it was their pastor-to-be, was very disappointed. And the next Sunday, the district superintendent brings him before the congregation and introduces him as their new pastor. this kind of church, and this does happen more than we probably realize, this church needs to know what it needs to be, means to be an inviting church. But what about sustaining? What does it mean to be a sustaining church? You know what sustain means? Keep going, to keep moving forward. A family in the church had been coming to that church for quite a while, It was a good family. They were very, very faithful. They were very spiritual, very loving church. But then there was a tragedy, not unlike the one that we've had in our community this week, where the daughter died in a tragic car accident. Well, the congregation, of course, was shocked to hear this news. And they offered condolences, of course. A few offered condolences. A few of the people in the church came alongside the family. And many didn't know this family, though, very well. They were Sunday morning, yes, very polite, meet them on Sunday morning, greet them, but really didn't have a connection with this family. Many people thought that because this family was so spiritual and so faithful, that their faith would see them through this tragedy. Then the family quit coming to church altogether, perhaps because of their grief, perhaps because of other reasons. A few people did call them from the church, but even those calls stopped after a while. In time, this family was virtually forgotten in that church. This church needs to know and to learn what it needs means to be a sustaining congregation. And today, we want to look quickly at the church that we just read about in the book of Acts as a model for what it means to be an inviting and sustaining congregation, community of faith. Luke says, all the believers were gathered and had everything in common, in verse 44. They were gathered together. That means that they were meeting together, not just in worship, but in each other's homes as well. This congregation met together. They were with each other. You know, you can't really know somebody unless you spend time with them, can you? I remember as I was courting my wife, I had to spend time with her to get to know her and her to get to know me. It took time to get to know one another and to know each other's ways and funny ways and all of that. But it took time. It took many, many months. And it takes time to get to know one another in church. Because you see, the church is all about relationships and about connecting with one another. John Wesley knew this because he started something called class meetings. These were meetings through the week in between worship services, like small group Bible studies. They were called accountability groups, class meetings, which I'll talk more about in a minute. You see, when we gather on Sunday morning and are polite and speak to one another, that's good. But is it enough to get to know one another? And I know the bigger the church, the harder that is to do. You can't really get to know somebody for just a few minutes passing on Sunday morning in worship. We need to build stronger, deeper relationships.